Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Sid Rosenberg with you, back in the same chair I was sitting in after the October 7th attacks and after Iran attacked Israel a couple weeks ago. Here to tell you that these strict constitutionalists who tell you these animals on these campuses have a First Amendment right, here to tell you they are full of no, they don't. When you start talking about Final Solution, which is what the Nazis talked about when they exterminated 6 million Jews, when people are getting violent on campuses, intimidating and threatening and actually hitting people, that is not a First Amendment right. It is time for city officials, state officials, federal officials to step in and do their jobs, protect the Jewish students and protect the Jewish people. I am so sick and tired of the rights for everybody else. What about us? Get your back together.
We spotted the ocean at the head of the trail. Where are we going? So far away. Somebody told me this is the place where everything's better and everything.
Yeah, that's become a weekly thing with me now. That Sunday morning chair in my family room, have my coffee, watch Maria Bartiromo, and complain about Israel. First Amendment right? Are you nuts? Nobody knows more about the Constitution. Nobody. And all kind of amendment rights than my next guest, who's not just the greatest attorney, but a dear, dear friend and the strongest voice for Israel in the world today, and that's Alan Dershowitz. So I keep having these conversations with judges and other radio hosts, and they tell me, hey, this is their First Amendment right. They're sitting out there. They're not violent. They're not doing anything. I go, where? What? Not what I'm watching. So you tell me, Alan, these kids are just exercising their First Amendment rights?
No, these have become law violators, terrorists in training. This has now become worse than January 6th. Why? First, there are more of them. Second, they represent the future. Third, these kids are going to join Hamas when Hamas comes to America and starts planting bombs on American universities and synagogues and libraries and at media stations like yours. That's going to be their goal. And there's not a large leap between a kid who says, I'm Hamas, and I want to see 100,000 or 10,000 October 7th, and we bless and praise the rockets. There's not a big leap between that and becoming terrorists. I know, because I represented protesters in the 60s and 70s, people like Kathy Boudin, who turned from being a protester into a murderer. She was convicted of murdering two decent, nice, family-oriented policemen in Rockland County and two people from Brinks Guards. And then guess what happened to her after she finished serving her term for murder? She was hired by Columbia University. She probably taught some of these students who are now criminals. And there is no First Amendment here. The First Amendment is out the window. When you break windows, when you break into buildings, when you intimidate students, when you threaten them, when you harass them, there is no First Amendment, and Columbia, of course, is not bound by the First Amendment, being a private university. The rule has to be the same as if Ku Klux Klan racists had broken into Hamilton Hall and had called for the rapes of blacks, the rapes of, and the murder of gays. What would the school be doing then? It would not be sitting still and saying, First Amendment, First Amendment. I am a First Amendment activist. This is not, this abuses the First Amendment. This hurts the First Amendment. This is not what the framers of the First Amendment or the 14th Amendment had in mind when they talked about the freedom of speech. and the freedom of expression.
Yeah, see, and I felt this way, and I felt this way, and I felt this way from day one. You talked about intimidating and threatening. That was day one. I didn't need to see windows broken last night to figure out this is not the First Amendment rights. But I want to, you know, you said the school, the impetus, the onus is on the school to call the police. But you brought up something very, very important, which is if this was the Ku Klux Klan out there protesting black people, the school would never allow it. What about the mayor? The mayor, Eric Adams, keeps saying time and time again, I will not have my police go into that campus until they call me. Let me ask you this. If it was the Klan and it was blacks under fire, do you think Eric Adams would wait for a call from the school?
No, and no city official would. No city official should. Crimes have been committed. We see them with our own eyes on television. Crimes of violence have been committed. The police ought to be going in there and arresting anybody who committed a property crime, anybody who threatened or intimidated or harassed, anybody who violated the criminal code. And no amnesty should be given whatsoever. Every one of these students should be not suspended, but expelled. Students who violate the court, the order of the school, students who make it impossible for Jewish students to attend. And I know I've spoken to Jewish parents. I've spoken to friends of these Jewish students. They are terrified and they're afraid to stand up. And you know what the answer always is? Well, there are some Jews among the protesters. No, 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 no. Jewish Voice for Peace is not a Jewish organization. It's an old line communist anarchist organization which was involved in Wall Street occupation, in other occupations. They just use the claim of Jewishness. Many of their members are not Jewish. They use their claim of Jewishness to say, see, see, Jews are involved. No, no. And even if Jews are involved, arrest them. You know, there are bad Jews. George Soros is a very bad Jew. He's funding some of this. The Rockefeller Brothers Fund. Let me tell you who's on the trustee board of the Rockefeller's Fund, who's giving money for these demonstrations. Peter Beinart. Peter Beinart, who's a rabid anti-Zionist, who doesn't believe Israel has the right to exist as the nation state of the Jewish people, he's the one who's giving out money to these thugs who are now showing their true self. But I worry that what happened in the 60s and 70s is going to happen. We're going to see terrorism, Hamas-generated terrorism in the United States, directed not only against Jews, because as Elie Wiesel said, the Jews are first, but they're never the last ones. We're going to see it like in the 70s. Remember what happened in the 70s? Bombs were planted at the University of Wisconsin. An attempt was made to bomb Fort Dix military. 12th Street in the village, a house blew up. What was going on in the house? Kathy Boudin and others were making bombs designed to kill as many people as possible, not just ordinary bombs, but bombs with anti-personnel nails in it to cause great and grievous harm to people. That's what's going to happen. Among these thugs are people who are going to be a fifth column and are going to try to destroy America and bring it down, because these are not, in the end, just anti-Israel riots. They're anti-American. We hate America, death to America, kill America, and we better take action in self-defense before it's too late.
I couldn't agree more. That is so well said. This is my dear friend, the genius that is Alan Dershowitz. Like my friend Siggy Flicker says down in Florida, they come for the Jews on Saturday. They come for you guys, you Christians, on Sunday. Let me get to Joe Biden. I don't want to turn this into Biden versus Trump. You know where I stand. I love Trump. He was great to Israel. We'll get to his case, too, in New York in just a moment. Do you think Joe Biden is doing enough? I mean, again, I heard him take another Bibi on Sunday.
Absolutely not. He's not doing nearly enough. He made a statement, much like the statement that caused him to run for president. He mischaracterized what Trump had said in Charlottesville. But what he said was what he claims Trump said. He said, well, I condemn Hamas and I condemn anti-Semites, but I equally also condemn those who don't understand what's happening to the Palestinians. Well, let me tell you, I'm a pretty smart guy. I don't understand what's happening to the Palestinians. I understand that what's happening to them is the fault of Hamas and the fault of other Palestinians. I don't think Israel is to blame for what's going on in Hamas. These are people who are using human shields to kill their own people. The number of people who have been killed in Gaza by Israel is infinitesimally small, smaller than in any comparable war in history. There is no famine. Look at the pictures of markets filled with food. It's a blood libel. It's false. And President Biden, who I've known for 40 years, you are not telling the truth when you compare anti-Semitism to lack of concern for what's going on in Gaza. There's no lack of concern. What there is a lack of understanding that what's going on in Gaza is entirely the fault of Hamas. Look, the worst thing about this is Hamas is winning in the court of public opinion. Hamas did these terrible things on October 7th, and they're benefiting from it. And that means they'll do it again. That means they'll do it in America. That means they'll do it in Europe. Why not? If you can murder 1,200 people and take 300 people hostage and win in the court of public opinion because of CNN showing stilted pictures of dead babies that were killed by Hamas but blamed on Israel, of course you'll do it again. And so this is very, very dangerous because it's an invitation to Hamas to come to America, to come to college campuses, to recruit terrorists among these students, and they will do it, and they will do it successfully, and your kid or your nephew may be the next victim.
You know, one more on this, and then we'll take a quick break and talk about Trump, Alan, and that is sure. That according to the Secretary of State, Blinken, we're close to doing a deal with Hamas. And every time you've come close the last couple of weeks, couple of months, Hamas kills it at the very end, and there's a lot sure. of folks who believe they kill it because there's no hostages left. Maybe there's 3, 4, or 5, but certainly not 40 or 50. What are your thoughts on that?
That's certainly possible. But look, there isn't a single demonstrator, not a single one, who blames it on Hamas. As Blinken said to his credit yesterday, there is only one thing that stands between the people of Gaza and a ceasefire, and that's Hamas. Israel has made an extremely generous, in my view, an overgenerous offer to Hamas, and Hamas is saying no. Why not? Of course they should say no, because they're going to get more demonstrations. Not a single one of these kids has said, hey, wait a minute. Maybe the reason people are dying in Gaza is because Hamas won't accept a ceasefire. You don't find a single person. And, you know, for me, the blame lies largely with the faculty members they interviewed the other day on television, the chairman of the philosophy department at a university in the South, poor students who have her as her philosophy teacher. She is a one-sided anti-Israel person who would never, ever defend the free speech of people who are racist or anti-black or anti-Arab or anti-gay. It's free speech for me, but not for the. But don't underestimate the dangerousness of this. This is a real crisis for America and for every single law-abiding citizen. If we allow our universities to be taken over by these anti-Semitic thugs, it's going to be Germany in the 1930s. We've seen pictures in Germany in the 1930s in universities where Nazi students are blocking Jewish students, where professors are siding with the Nazis. These are Hitler Youth, and these professors who are siding with these Nazis are the Nazis of 2024. They deserve no sympathy, and they deserve no right to teach at American universities. As the Supreme Court said in an opinion by Justice Holmes about a policeman, you may have the right to express these obnoxious views, but you have no right to be a policeman. The same thing is true with Columbia professors and Columbia students. They may have the right to be anti-Semites, but they have no right to be professors or students at a university if they express those views and intimidate students and threaten them and break windows and engage in the kind of violence we're seeing them engage in.
That is a home run, Alan Dershowitz. I'm going to put you on hold for a couple of seconds. Man, that was perfect. It really was perfect. A couple of seconds on hold. We'll come back and talk about day 9 in a freezing, according to Trump, a freezing lower Manhattan courtroom. More with the genius, my dear friend Alan Dershowitz, coming right back.
They smile just the same. Seem that all the God who came. Walk on the ocean. Step on the stone. Flesh becomes water.
Sit in Friends in the Morning, 77 WABC.
Rock that Casbah. Fox News reporting the police are moving in to arrest these protesters at Yale. Mayor Adams will say, yeah, but they called. And, you know, and Columbia hasn't called me. I mean, what a just a creep. Anyway, Alan Dershowitz is great. I love him. He's back with us. We spoke a lot about the protests, the insurrection that is actually taking place right now at Columbia with those students, if you want to call them that, animals, breaking into Hamilton House. But I want to get to Trump. Today is day nine. I know you paid attention to the testimony last week from David Pecker from the National Enquirer. Some, like Greg Jarrett, say that Pecker's testimony actually helped Trump. What did you see?
No, I have the same view, particularly after our friend Arthur Idella won the Harvey Weinstein case on the ground that you can't try a person for facts that aren't criminal and aren't charged. You know, if I were in court today, I would be wearing a shirt that says who? Says who? He didn't commit any crimes. Says who? Pecker? Pecker didn't argue that he committed any crimes. McDougal won't say crimes. Stormy Daniels won't say crimes. We're on day seven. We haven't heard a word about a crime yet because there is no crime. It's a made up case. And if they can make it up against Donald Trump today, they can make it up against you tomorrow. Just 30 seconds. Think about this. A misdemeanor that's already expired under the statute of limitations mysteriously turns into a state felony because in his mind, when he signed this, and he didn't sign it, somebody else did, but when somebody signed it, he had in mind that he was actually committing a federal felony, which the federal government didn't prosecute him for, and which the Federal Election Commission didn't prosecute him for. I've been doing this 60 years, Sid. I know more about criminal law, probably in terms of teaching students, litigating cases, writing 50 books and 1,000 articles about this. There is no crime. Now, according to CNN, this is the worst crime since the Lincoln assassination if it had been on television with videotapes of the actual killing. This is the worst crime. You talk to their commentators. Oh, my God, this is fraud. This is that. But not a single word has been said about any crime. And so the goal, of course, is to get him convicted by a New York biased jury, and then it'll be reversed on appeal. But that will happen after the election. But I would think that Trump's lawyers, if there is a conviction, would move for an expedited appeal.
Yeah.
Arthur Idella should argue it and argue it much the same way he argued the Weinstein case. And I think he'd get the same result. But will it have an impact on the election? This is election interference, pure and simple. It's designed to impact the independent voters, several of whom in a poll said they would be impacted if there were a felony conviction. Even for a non-crime. That's what's so absurd about this.
I'm also happy for Arthur. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Harvey, but like you said to me a couple of weeks ago, look, Sid, I know you didn't like O.J. Simpson. That's an understatement. I hated him. But the truth is, you said that was the correct verdict, and I'm very, very proud and happy for Arthur Idala for getting that done here in New York. One more on Trump, I'll let you run. And that is what the Supreme Court decided last week. Looks like it'll be a razor-thin 5-4 majority, I would think, when it comes down to the exactly what happened last week, which is, does he have absolute immunity? It looks like more like limited immunity. What do you think that what happened last week, when we get the ruling in June, that means moving forward for Trump in the Jack Smith case?
Yeah, his lawyer made two very serious mistakes. I was really shocked. One, he waived his rebuttal. You never do that. You give yourself an opportunity to answer all the arguments. Number two, he conceded that phone calls to the state attorney general of Georgia were private acts, not public acts. No, no, no. When you're president of the United States, there are very few things that are really private. Obviously, having sex with an intern in the Oval Office is private. But making a call from the Oval Office to a secretary of state about enforcing the law as you believed it to be. So I think what we're going to see is actually probably a 6-3 decision. It could be 5-4, in which the court says there is immunity for public acts, not for private acts, and will remand it back to the trial court to determine which are public and which are private. The problem is his lawyer has already conceded that some of them are private. And if Jack Smith wanted to proceed, he could actually issue a new indictment just based on the private acts and move quickly, but he said he's not going to do that. So I think we're looking at June, and I think we're looking at a trial either right during, while people are voting, or after they finish voting. Probably more likely after they finish voting.
I mean, you look at it, you know, Fannie Willis humiliated herself, but she's still there, and all the smart guys I talk to say that Trump and my friend Rudy are still in trouble, and then you get this thing where the Supreme Court is going to say he's got some immunity at some level, but Jack Smith is still moving forward. It's not like any of this stuff is going away, Alan.
No, and, you know, there ought to be imprisonment in this case, but it ought to be Fannie Willis who's in prison. She committed perjury right in front of our eyes. Every rational person saw her lying through her teeth when she said she began the affair only after she appointed him to this highly paid job from which he took money and paid for her to travel. And she committed perjury, in my opinion, when she said she paid back all the money. Where's the proof? It's her testimony. No proof. So there ought to be imprisonment and disbarment, but not of Donald Trump, of Fannie Willis, because who's guarding the guardians? If prosecutors can lie in front of millions of people on television and get away with it, the rule of law is really in deep trouble.
In the final 60 seconds, I want to take it all the way back to where we started, talking about these students in Columbia, students, some of them paid, who knows. But you really believe, and you're maybe the smartest guy I know, you really believe, Alan, in your heart of hearts, that we are about to have a day of reckoning here in the United States, and maybe some of these animals on campus will take part. But you believe even this radio station and other places across this country will absolutely come under attack.
Believe what they say. Read what they're writing in their signs. Revolution, revolution, death to America. We are Hamas. Believe it. You know, we made a terrible mistake in the 60s and 70s. We believed that, oh, my God, how could somebody like Kathy Boudin, who is so well-educated, has such great parents, comes from such a good background, that she could actually make bombs and try to kill policemen? We didn't believe it. We weren't ready. We have to be ready. These thugs, these Hitler youth today on college campuses are planning to overthrow the United States. No, they won't succeed. But they will cause tremendous damage. They will kill people, and we're not ready for it.
Even Hamas, the Israelis knew. They saw them practicing in mock villages, and they didn't believe it.
Yeah. Well, we have to believe it because we are in the precipice of violence. These protesters are becoming terrorists in the near future. Not all of them, not most of them, but enough of them. All you need is 100 to 200 out of the thousands to join Hamas and become terrorists, and our country is in deep trouble.
I mean, don't forget, you say a couple of hundred. It only took 19 to bring us to our knees back on 9/11. Alan, I love you. This was a great conversation. So important, so great. I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
My man. Alan Dershowitz.